This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
If you wrap foil around that, just like the little bit of the base part of the banana where the fruit is, wrap foil around that top and they will last longer.
You know, I'm something of a scientist myself.
Who needs your bananas to last longer, though?
Look, I don't want to go to the store every other day for bananas.
They're 8 cents each.
What the hell are you talking about? What is going on?
You're going to wrap them in foil?
They're better when they're just a little green. Yeah.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Too much work.
Not that much trouble, Rich.
Too much work.
Says the guy that's got a spreadsheet with 3,000 fantasy teams.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
The Bills advance to play the, number one rated team in the reverse AFC power rankings each of the last 2 weeks.
Right. 2 weeks running.
Yep.
Best team in the conference. Were the Bills second last week?
I wasn't here last week, so I don't know. The time before, I don't know. They might have been.
Houston was second.
I can't read.
Bills third. Jeremy was on.
Oh, okay. Good for you.
Bills 3, Houston 2, Jacksonville 1 was last week's result. It is not just the playoffs, but as you've heard in the updates all day, coaching firings around the league. We're at 6 teams with vacancies. A couple already knew they would have vacancies. The Giants in Tennessee made coaching changes midseason. And I think this explains how Tennessee is already requesting to talk to candidates. Like they're
ready to
in
go.
Motion.
Right.
Raheem Morris was fired by Atlanta last night and got a request from Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Everybody I heard from Tennessee is somebody who already was a head coach. And that's probably
intentional
how they'll do it.
Yeah,
because the last guy they just fired, Callahan, was not an NFL head coach before. But Matt Nagy made this list. Vance Joseph, all your favorites. Raheem Morris.
Is Daboll mentioned there?
Didn't see that. Maybe.
I wonder what this hiring cycle will be like for him.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of word out there that it's not like last year you had Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn, I guess, for that matter, too, both who like were hot candidates the cycle prior, but didn't like the lay of the land and decided to stay put. So they stayed in Detroit another year through the 24 season and then got out. And that this year there isn't that candidate is not out there, like somebody that's everybody's been waiting for him to hit the market. So it's more recycled guys. I'm not even seeing Brady's name.
Well, that's what I'm waiting to bring up is, will he get requests? You'd think he would.
I bet he'll get some, but I wonder if it'll just be sort of perfunctory going, just covering all your bases kind of stuff. But I don't see him touted as a top name.
I think he missed the college window.
That seems pretty clear.
Big names or the big schools like Penn State, who were looking to replace coaches, thought maybe Brady. He was a betting favorite in a couple of those. LSU was another one. They went and signed Lane Kiffin.
Yep.
So maybe the timing just wasn't.
During the season, there was a little chatter about if the Bengals did something with Zach Taylor, Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase. Like he's got ties to them from LSU. That might have been an idea, but they're standing pat with their crew, front office and coach. So that opening is not going to materialize. Yeah, Daboll. I mean, the offensive mind seems really good, but I don't wonder how much damage he did to himself with the way things went in New York. I never thought he was the most buttoned up guy. It was always kind of a weird fit with the Giants because of that. Because the Giants are like very buttoned up to me. I think of them. That's how I think of them. So I wonder what kind of traction Daboll gets. Maybe if it's not a great field, that's good for him. Because he's done the job and he certainly has, offensive background that could be appealing to some teams.
Could you see, I'm interested in the politics of this, potentially, the Giants trying to poach Brady because of Joe Shane? I have no idea what kind of relationship the two have, right. But if you're Shane and you wanted a Bills assistant, would the Bills be, would they find it prickly if the Giants asked, as opposed to like the Raiders or some team without ties?
Because they're the team that took their last offensive coordinator?
That could be part of it, just because, you know, there are relationships, and maybe the Bills might like to think the Giants would stay out of their hair.
Yeah, I don't know. I hadn't thought of it that way.
It probably should be okay. Yeah. Not the Giants, I don't really want to care about that.
No, I think I want the best guy, and the Bills also, I don't think, you know, they might not like to have to replace their coordinator again, but they're not going to get in the way of Joe Brady getting a job.
That's right. I think
so
that's right.
There's no way they wouldn't grant permission or anything. That's just not done. Coordinator to coordinator, that's different. But if you're going to interview for the Giants head coaching job, they might grit their teeth. I don't know. But I think, fly be free. Go do your thing.
What is – power rank these openings for me. Rank them. Cleveland, Giants, Tennessee, Vegas, Arizona, Atlanta.
Oof. Wow.
You're getting quarterbacks in, well, at least half of these. Like, Dart is the Giants quarterback. Cam Ward is the Titans quarterback. And Penix, probably, is the Atlanta quarterback.
Well, maybe not to start the year. I mean, he didn't – how bad was that injury?
I don't know. Maybe not. But he's who you're going to have to build with,
yes,
I think.
Yes, that's right.
He's who you're signing
they're
up
not,
for.
They're not giving that up yet, I don't think, just because he either. Got hurt. No, I agree.
Arizona might be Murray in the same way, even though he's older. Huge money. So you might want to take the Kyler Murray ride. You might have to.
Yeah.
Arizona. Vegas is wide open.
I still think they're going to bail on him. I think they're going to. The GM is not even tied to him. The GM is staying, right, in Arizona. I think they'll cut bait there. I think they've seen, and my read of that situation is that they've seen and heard enough to realize he's not a guy they trust moving forward. Like, to tie themselves to for that big money, franchise quarterback, face of the franchise, I think they're out. I'm just guessing that is what's going to happen there. I like Cam Ward. I want to see Cam Ward work. So I think that might be like, but is Tennessee going to give you all the stuff you need? You know, like resources. They feel a little bit Bengal-y to me.
Very Bengal-y.
The Titans, and that's not great.
Or Bengali, if you prefer.
And the roster needs a lot of help, I think, right? So, I don't know, man. That could be a pretty heavy lift.
Tennessee will have the fourth pick. Four teams finished with three wins. But, oh boy, what was the difference in the win? Oh, okay, win percentage of the opponents. They go by the strength of schedule. Sorry. Of course, those four teams would have the same win percentage. The ranking is by who played the weakest schedule of the four teams.
Right, to get those meager amount of wins. Right?
And that turned out to be the Raiders, who beat Kansas City yesterday. Smart.
And
they still had the first pick locked up, at least.
And they beat New England in week one, too, by the way.
They also beat New England.
They won three games. They beat the Patriots and the Chiefs, and what else did they do? I remember who else they beat. Wow.
I want to know now.
I'll go look. I can get that in a second here for you.
Raiders 1, Jets 2, Cardinals 3, Titans 4, Giants 5. That's your top five. Atlanta traded their pick to the Rams, and when the Falcons were falling apart, a lot of people like to point out how the Rams could end up with a high pick because of Atlanta, but Atlanta won their last four games.
Right.
So that's pick 13 now.
They leaned hard into the wire. The Raiders beat Tennessee back in week 6. That's their third.
How could I forget?
Win. Yeah.
Kent is, oh boy, Kent.
Yeah.
Hi, Kent. You're on the air. How are things going?
Man, I can't believe you can hear. That's Next Generation Bills Mafia, right?
Sweet.
That I just wanted to put out, first of all, I love you guys, first time, long time. My first vision or first experience was that in 1984, Gary Hogaboom versus Joe Ferguson. We were 0-11, We went and we won 14-3. I don't know. Do you guys remember that game?
Sure.
Greg Bell put up 199 yards. And the reason I'm calling and putting this out there into the universe is that my dad was a very hard person to pin down. And this is the very one of the few times I could actually spend more than 3 or 4 hours with him uninterrupted. And I did it consecutively. And as the Bills got better, the more time we spent together. So yesterday I shed major tears, not expecting it. So I just wanted to say to everybody in Bills Mafia, man, like we're there's nobody like us. And who's our kicker going to be?
Who is the kicker going to be?
I don't know. How old is that child crying in the background? And what kind of leg do they have?
The name, if we end up getting a conversation going at any point for the kicker thing, the name people are going to want to ask about is Justin Tucker. And I'm just a hard no. Like,
yeah, I don't.
I wouldn't touch it.
I don't need to do that.
But, you know, why not?
He's accomplished and decorated. Yeah, I mean.
There are lots of other guys that have done things in the league where small sample size, I'll take my chances. I'm not interested in crossing my fingers for Matt Prater, even going into Sunday, I think. Recognizing that I'm just out here on the outside with respect to this injury. Like, I don't know how he really feels, but he's 41 and I have a recurrence of a quad injury. I cannot let that result in I'm playing this game with Jacksonville and I lose my kicker. Like, that's just, I wouldn't do it. I'd rather go find somebody off waivers that has experience and, you know, whoever that is. There's always names, like Badgley was. I mean, Badgley missed two extra points, right? And the one was big. The Eagles one really hurt them.
Yes, yes.
And he missed four or five
within earlier this year. Right, that's why he wasn't there to begin with. That's why he was available.
You got to somehow tell him that those are field goals.
I guess that's...
And not extra points. Maybe you can trick him.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see what they do. Cam Little, the Jacksonville kicker, owns the record for the longest field goal in NFL history and the second longest.
Right. Second longest was yesterday, wasn't it?
Yesterday,
yeah.
He hit from 67. The record that he owns is 68 last year. He kicked a 68-yard field goal. And I think he had 70 in the preseason, which, think about that as a weapon in this game. Like, that's a touchback and one pass.
Right. You're to midfield and you're in field goal range.
That's right. Midfield, that's a 67-yard field goal. So, look out.
Yep.
There have been, so...
Did you catch his celebration after he kicked that 67-yard field
goal? No, I love a kicker celebration. I missed it.
I don't know what was going on there, but he, like, you know, he made the kick and sort of ran away from everyone and was sort of like trying to tell them to keep, you know, stay at a distance. I've got a thing to do. And maybe the holder came in and chest bumped him, and then he did that again, and then he just started doing some dance that I didn't recognize. So I was wondering.
Usually you're pretty knowledgeable when it comes to recognizing dances.
Yeah. Yeah. I know.
Oh, it was the Watusi.
I know what they're all called.
It was the
gritty.
It was the Oregon flip.
Yeah, I don't know. But he really had his mind set on doing something individually after making that kick.
It was the Charleston in honor of the local Charleston Chamber of Commerce, who had attended the game and donated money to his charity. In high school one day, I remember this very well for some reason. Well, like, maybe it'll make sense why I remember it. A high school English class, and whatever the assignment was, you know, something off a book, you're explaining the book, whatever you're doing.
I hated that when they made you read books.
Yes. And a girl in the class who I was friends with, just, you know, casually, I think she probably had The Great Gatsby for her book. And as part of her presentation, she says, "You want to see me do the Charleston?" Would that line up? Would that be Gatsby? "So you want to see me do the Charleston?" And I don't know if anybody answered, but she's like, "I'm doing it." And I was just breathtaking. I just loved it. Suddenly, this girl went way up on my list. I mean, mad respect for just breaking out in a dance. I loved it. I loved her right then and there. And I just also loved her courage for, like...
Yeah, right.
I don't want anybody to ever see me dance. And she just got up there.
No,
like, bam.
Right. Yeah.
And you probably get, you know, a little bit of extra credit for your project just by being willing to do it.
Lean into that. Sure. A teacher would probably want to grade you more favorably based on the chance you took exposing yourself that way to your classmates.
Yeah.
I think I would recognize the Charleston. I'm old enough to, I think I would know, like, if they were like 10 famous dance steps or dances taking place, I feel like I could pick the Charleston out.
I search the name of a movie.
It's a hell of a thing for me to brag about, but I think I could do that. The Twist is another example.
If you ever see the movie The Cat's Meow,
probably not going to happen. But
William Randolph. I like this movie a lot. William Randolph Hearst. So we're going back. Charlie Chaplin is portrayed. Kirsten Dunst is the lead in this movie.
Okay.
Edward Herman is Hearst.
Oh, I can see her. I can see Kirsten Dunst in like a Charleston dance outfit with a little hat and everything.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
That this movie features the Charleston.
Right, yeah.
How do we get to the Charleston?
I just...
Oh, Cam Big, Cam Little, the Jacksonville kicker.
Right, right. He had some sort of
dance plan.
Yeah, right, yeah.
What's he for Super Bowl MVP? Perish the thought.
The Jacksonville kicker.
They just kick 60-yarders all over you for four games. And you have to, you can't deny them. Mark Mosley was the MVP of the NFL in 1983, a kicker for Washington. Today, I saw from Sam Monson.
It's pretty incredible still.
I know. Today is the day where you vote. The AP vote is today. Like maybe it's a deadline of...
For MVP or all the awards?
I think
all
everything.
The awards. Yeah, okay. I did see a lot of chatter. I mean, it makes sense. The season has ended. So like the window is closed because you don't base any of this voting on these awards on anything that happens in the postseason.
Right.
So I did see a lot of just different Coach of the Year chatter, more that than anything else, I would say. More than MVP, I saw Coach of the Year.
Who would you vote for?
I think I would vote for Vrabel.
I would vote for Seattle's guy.
I like Shanahan as an idea, but it just gets, whatever. It just the last game leaves a mark, and to me, Vrabel... 4-13 back-to-back years, and you show up, and bam, that's your year. I like Seattle's guy, too, but he had a head start. He got a year under his belt, and that shouldn't penalize him for the job he did this year, but they were already gaining steam. I mean, they did start over at quarterback again, which is to his credit, I think, but I think I would lean Vrabel, but I don't hate I wouldn't object to Mike McDonald winning it.
I think they're pretty serious. Seattle.
Yeah.
I mean, they beat Shanahan. 3 points.
They beat him up.
That was nice.
Yeah, that was really impressive.
And so they're the one, they are the betting favorite now, the Seahawks, by that win. So if you like them, I mean, you'll hear Sam's voice. If you like them before that game, maybe the bet was the whole thing because they'll have they knew what they were playing for was the one, and they've got that. But it's still going to be hard. Like, they'll get the Rams next or the Niners again. Like, that's probably their next game. Or it could be Green Bay. Even still, they're not going to be huge favorites against any of those teams, even at home. And then that might be their tougher game. After that one could be Chicago, Philadelphia, or the same list of teams. But NFC West.
Yeah, to do that in that division is a feather in your guys' cap. There.
That's one piece of the argument, like against Vrabel, is how easy their schedule was.
The schedule, but they did beat out the Bills. But the NFC West is, you got three teams there that any of the three of them could win the Super Bowl. And then I guess the AFC East, you've got the two, Bills and Patriots. So it's one more. It's just, you know, two games against each of those teams. That's a I would even say from New England standpoint, having to play the Rams twice and play San Francisco twice might be tougher than having to play the Bills twice.
Yeah, right.
Those are machine-type teams, especially the Rams, I'd say.
The Patriots got it home. I mean, the win in Baltimore on the Sunday night, then these last two end up both being blowout wins, yep. Jets and Dolphins. Like, they got it home. Now they get the Chargers. That'll be Sunday night. Eric Wood joined us earlier today. It is Football Monday around here, talking about the emotions of yesterday and also the matchup with Jacksonville. Our conversation with Eric coming up next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.